Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Top of the morning to you on this Football Friday. We are presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. I was ready to come on the air today, talk about the Redskins and the Jets, go through all the NFL games, talk about a big Saturday in college football looming. And then last night happened, and we've got two stories. Neither are good that we'll spend a bunch of time on today. Not the entire show, but they'll do some heavy lifting. You got Monte Nicholson again in some trouble. We're trying to figure out exactly what happened with the Redskins safety. But more often than not, he's been injured or causing the team a lot of strife and consternation. And last night, the biggest story in football, Myles Garrett ripping off the helmet of Mason Rudolph and hitting him with it. One of the more violent, gruesome scenes in an NFL game any of us have ever seen.
That was bad. I know there were raised emotions. I know this was, you know, a game where a couple Steelers got knocked out. Juju Smith-Schuster concussed. You had Deontay Johnson concussed in this game, I believe. And emotions are running high. Divisional game. Nobody's happy with each other. Chaos is reigning supreme. Late game, fracas ensues. Mason Rudolph, Myles Garrett. I don't care who's at fault. I don't care who started it. A lot of people seem to. A lot of people seem to say, well, what did Mason Rudolph do? I don't care. Please be an adult. Please don't swing a helmet at somebody. Please don't do that. That is huge suspension worthy, in my opinion. I forgive in-play transgressions of aggressiveness. I forgive a late hit on the quarterback when a guy's just desperate to make a play because if he gets his 10th sack, he gets probably a $1 million bonus or gets himself another contract. Guys that are hungry to make plays, to dislodge the football, players in the secondary, everybody treats these in-game, quote-unquote, dirty plays where everything's moving a million miles an hour the same way they treat extracurricular stuff. I do not. I have a special category for when a guy's laying defenseless on the ground and Rob Gronkowski headbutts him and concusses him. When Myles Garrett swings the helmet, you got your own category. You need to go see Mr. Goodell, please.
So this reminds me a lot of some of the hockey discussions we've had, where in the past I've talked about, whether it's Tom Wilson or somebody else, the suspension warranted and what we need to do to reprimand a player who hits someone in a way that is violent and leaves somebody injured. And sounds like we have a similar thinking here, but I'll use my hockey mindset of, to your point, was it something that happened within the confines of the play in the game that went too far? Fast game, violent game, collisions are big, where maybe even it was dirty at times, but it happened within the play of the game, or was it something that was completely unavoidable and not within the play-in, play-out in football, down-in, down-out sequence of the game? This was egregious. This was really bad. If you didn't see it last night, you can listen here. This is from Thursday Night Football, the Fox telecast.
Here's a flag as... Mason Rudolph got
Rudolph
into
needs
it.
To get out of there.
What in the world? Believe Myles Garrett? They'll be swinging a helmet?
Yeah, there'll be some ejections coming out of this.
There may be suspensions.
That's right, suspensions.
So let's go back through the play first. 10 seconds left in a game. The Browns have won, by the way. The Steelers lost the game.
Yeah, they needed it.
It's garbage time. So it was a garbage play in garbage time. Sub 10 seconds left. Mason Rudolph, their young quarterback, dumps the ball down to Trey Edmonds, who's just a backup scat back running back out of the backfield. He dumps the ball down, and we're now, the camera is on the running back picking up some extra yards that don't matter, and then we eventually see behind the play that Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph have gone to the ground together, and they're kind of in a little bit of a spat. As we see with replays later, they come together well after the throw, and Garrett takes Rudolph to the ground way after the throw. If the play ended right there, you're thinking, dude, there's 8 seconds left.
What are you doing?
Why are you taking the quarterback to the ground way after he threw it? Now, a lot of people are saying that Mason Rudolph was to blame or started this because he tried to grab Myles Garrett's helmet at one point and tried to pull it off before Garrett then rips his helmet off and swings and hits him with it. He stands up. You know, at that point, the play is over.
Mm-hmm.
You've lived to win the game. There's 8 seconds left. Go to the next player, walk off the field angry and point at the scoreboard. He stands up and continues, while Rudolph's still on the ground, to pull his helmet off. And then when he gets his helmet off, instead of doing the Richie Incognito or Kyle Turley, whatever
Kyle
that was,
Turley, right?
Where he like launches a helmet 30 feet in the air, he proceeds to swing the helmet. If you've never held an NFL helmet, I'll just tell you, it's very heavy. And if it went crowded the helmet top of the head, some people are saying he could have killed him. I don't know about that. I know he could have hurt him really, really, really bad.
Significant injury is absolutely possible there.
He hits him with basically the bottom of the helmet, the ear hole, which I'm surprised it didn't cut him open. He wasn't bleeding. I don't know how he didn't go to the ground like some dude who got hit with a champagne bottle at a bar. He crushes the top of his head with it. Stood up, ripped his helmet off, and bashed him over the head with it. There are people saying things like, Mason Rudolph started it, man, as if normal football pushing and shoving or grabbing each other on the ground or even grabbing at each other's helmet somehow justifies Myles Garrett doing something that none of us have ever seen done before. It's the equivalent, Danny, of like you're talking trash with someone. Like, I don't even know when in life you would do this, but like you walk by someone and like they bump you at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, dude, you bumped me. And the person goes like, screw you. And you're like, screw you. And then he punches you in the face. He doesn't get to punch you in the face because you said, hey, man, you bumped me. And then he said, screw you.
Well,
you
started it because you announced the.
How about normal people interact and say, hey, you bumped me. Hey, I don't like you. Okay, I don't like you either. You don't then get to punch someone in the face. This thing went 0 to 1,000 and people are acting like it was just living at 990.
Yeah, it's not okay.
I cannot understand people who come out and say, well, Mason Rudolph started this thing.
Cool.
First, I don't know that he did because the quarterback got taken to the ground way after the play. Let's start with that. Second, he's grabbing at his helmet, and then his helmet gets taken off. Do you think Mason Rudolph's plan was to grab a helmet, take it off, and swing it at Myles Garrett? Can you imagine thinking that Mason Rudolph, quote-unquote, like got what he deserved? Or that like Samuel L. Jackson was tweeting last night, like, that quarterback can't play and he can't fight. What? What are we doing here?
There are, again, this is, it just goes to what's normal, what's acceptable. Lots of people have started lots of fracases. Lots of pushing and shoving has happened in NFL games. As a quick aside, I think of the LeGarrette Blount incident at Oregon back in the day when a Boise State guy's taunting him and taunting the players, and there was a punch. I think about this incident and how hyped up and excited and full of adrenaline you've got to be to play that game at such a high level. I'm always amazed we don't have more incidents like this. And it's a credit to those guys. And I'm not indicting anybody. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm trying to acknowledge in a game where there you have to be this aggressive to sort of get yourself in that mode to be able to go hit and get in a car wreck every play. I'm amazed we don't have more shocking incidents like this.
Yeah, you're playing
angry. It's a credit
angry.
To those guys.
These guys flip a switch when they go onto the field where they become modern-day gladiators.
Yeah, it is a credit to those men that are able to compartmentalize. It really is incredible.
I hate that this was Myles Garrett because he's one of my favorite players in the league. Now, he's got a reputation. I don't know if you would say dirty or not, but post-whistle stuff.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
he's one
hard.
Of these guys that by most accounts is like complete mensch, like lamb off the field essentially, and then lying on it. And Ndamukong Suh is the dirtiest player, everyone says, on the defensive line. Going into last night, if you said, who's the next dirtiest player? A lot of people would have said Myles Garrett,
he
which does not bode well for him here.
Yeah.
I mean, there were stories being written about him at the beginning of the season, need to clean up his act. So it only makes this worse as he sits down with the NFL, presumably today, to find out his fate. The quarterback of the Steelers who got hit in the head with his own helmet was Mason Rudolph.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know. But I know it's Bush League. I know he's, you know, total coward move on his part. You know, I get it. I mean, it's okay, though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Rudolph standing eight count. I don't know how he didn't go to the ground. He got hit on top of the head with a helmet swung.
He's lucky.
As hard as Myles Garrett, who's a sculpted dude, just wanted to injure him in that moment. In that moment, he wanted to hurt the guy. He's
What's
in a
the
fight,
intent? Yeah,
and he wanted to hurt him. Now, this was Freddie Kitchens, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, after their win and their shameful moment.
Of course, that's not who we want to be at the end of the game. That's not who Myles wants to be. That's not who we're going to be. You have to be able to maintain your composure in times like that, and under no circumstance do we want anything to do with anything like that. I'm embarrassed. Myles is embarrassed. It's not good. So he understands what he did. He understands it's totally unacceptable, and we got to get through it.
I've got a list of things that I've seen in sports. Now, Marty McSorley, Donald Brashear, stick to the head stuff.
That's still the one seed.
I agree. That I'll never unsee. This is in that list. And it's football's black eye. It's football's version of that. This is their malice at the palace in a lot of ways. I'm not comparing, you know, two players on the field to going into the crowd and saying this is worse than sucker punching a fan. What I am saying is, like, there are things as a football fan that are you just never think you're going to see. This is their version of that. So here's the question for you guys at 800-636-1067. And there's a bunch of other things you and I have to discuss still. We'll get to the calls next. What should the NFL do? What should the punishment be? That's the question on Grant and Danny. Plus, one of the World Series champion Nationals is going to join us today. You'll want to hear that in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll tell you who next. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The phones available on this Football Friday at 800-636-1067. We're starting off talking Myles Garrett and the disgusting scene last night, Browns Steelers. You know, I would have loved to have come in here, Danny. Talked about Cleveland being back to knocking on the door of
being
relevant again.
Two straight wins, man. And Pittsburgh, who had been playing really well, needed that one last night, man. They needed to get back in the AFC playoff picture. Cleveland stole it from them.
We're not talking about that, though.
Nope.
Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. If you missed it, Garrett rips off quarterback Mason Rudolph's helmet while Rudolph is on the field. He's standing over him. Takes the helmet while being separated by offensive lineman David DeCastro from Mason Rudolph, and he hits Rudolph on top of the head with Rudolph's own helmet. A lot of stuff still to wade through. We will get to your calls. We want to hear from you guys. Again, 800-636-1067. There's a few other things I've jotted down to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, let's read a few tweets as well. At Grant H. Paulson for me, at Funny Danny for you. Our buddy, the real guy, Loren, says, Garrett should be gone for the season. Pouncey gets a game. Rudolph gets a significant fine. I'm fine with Rudolph getting a fine. I'd even be okay with Pouncey getting a game, but let's get into Pouncey for a second. When Pouncey turns around, he's actually doing football things while most of that skirmish is going on.
Mm-hmm.
He sees Rudolph running over to the quarterback with his helmet off, and the defensive lineman he's been blocking all night, Myles Garrett, swing and hit his quarterback with a helmet. He comes over and immediately starts throwing fists. When they get Garrett to the ground, he's tackled, wrestled to the ground by the guard David DeCastro out of Stanford. At one point, Pouncey tries to kick him in the head. I think he gets blocked by one of the Browns' legs and can't actually kick him, but it doesn't matter. And he's swinging on him. So he punches, lands like three punches to the helmet, and he tries to kick him in the head. If you want to tell me that you cannot have that type of fighting in football, so you're going to give him a one-game suspension, as long as you're suspending Myles Garrett several times more than that,
oh yeah,
no real issue there. But don't come at me for 1 second today and tell me that Marquise Pouncey is as villainous or did something as wrong as Myles Garrett. One guy hit a dude with a helmet, which has never happened before. The other guy who's programmed, almost like you're in the military, and like you're stabbing out your bayonet, and they're like yelling, like, kill, kill, whatever it is that you, I don't know how that all works. Like, you're programmed, and you have a different chip in your brain than like me and you do when you're in the military, right? Would you agree with
you
that?
You would say so, yeah.
You have to survive. This guy's programming that they do every single day is protect the quarterback, protect the quarterback. Now someone's hitting his quarterback in the head with a helmet. I'm sorry that he went nuts. If you want to suspend him a game, cool. If you're pretending like those two guys deserve the same suspension, you're a crazy person.
So I could even give Mason Rudolph a game. I could get to that point.
Mason Rudolph?
Yeah. I mean, he's instigating and going after Garrett, and I know you didn't like the hit. I'm sorry about that. But the carrying on, I could live in that world. I probably wouldn't. I would find it, but I could give him a game.
I think Mason Rudolph did something that, like, Phillip Rivers has done 42 times,
yeah,
to be honest.
And I'm okay.
I would fine him.
I'm okay. Like, I wouldn't protest. I wouldn't flip out if they gave him a game, is my point. I could even get to the point where I give two games to Pouncey for kicking people. I could get there. I'd probably give him a game, but I could do two. You see what I'm saying? That's kind of where I'm at. For me, Mr. Garrett needs to take the rest of the season off. The rest of your year will be spent watching the Cleveland Browns like Cleveland Browns fans. No, sir. Those other guys are at fault. Lots of people have been at fault previously, and it's never escalated to this point. Lots of people have said lots of things. Lots of people have shoved lots of people. Lots of folks have been aggressive, got in each other's face because they didn't like the way you did this, X, Y, Z, P, D, Q. None of that has escalated to you grabbing a helmet and swinging it at them. Enjoy the rest of the season. Rest and recoup. Kick your feet up.
Suspending them rest of the year.
Rest of the year. Six games.
I think so, too. Especially because there's only six games left. The big question to me is, hypothetically, if there were 10 games left, would it be the rest of the year? And I still think it could be. I think it's the ultimate no-brainer. I think this is a complete done deal when he walks into the room to sit down with whoever it is, Derek Brooks or Roger Goodell. I don't even know who he'd be meeting with. But I think he walks in and the first thing they say is, before we hear your side of the story, you're not playing again this season, especially because it's only six games. I mean, to me, that's it's not even a conversation that he won't play again this year. Nathan on Twitter says he needs to be kicked out of the league and made an example of. It was totally unacceptable. Anything short of a permanent ban will open the door to more garbage. No, thank you. I don't want to ban players for one bad incident in the middle of a fight where it did take two to tango. Now, did he go too far? Yes. Did he do something unprecedented? Absolutely. Could you do anything ever that would lead to being banned from football? I think it'd be hard for me to ban a player. But possibly,
for me, repeated
incidents wouldn't be it.
Like, Vontaze Burfict needs to be in my office. Like, he's on triple secret probation. All you do anything else, you're done. I mean, but he's got a track record of years and years of this kind of behavior. I don't think Myles Garrett has approached that. You could say he pushes the envelope, he's dirty, whatever word you want to use. He's not to that level. He's not to that level
no
of team shotting people all the time.
Any tweets that stand out to you? At Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, before we get to the phone.
So, I've seen a few of these just kind of out and about. It's not a huge element of this, but right away, the abstract tweeted us, y'all can't even fathom that Rudolph did anything wrong, huh? You don't know what he said to him? Parentheses, racial term. You saw him trying to take Garrett's helmet off, too. Shameful. Suspend Rudolph, with a couple of emojis that I don't know what they mean. So, to me, there's a couple things here. I will fully acknowledge Mason Rudolph's a jackass in this circumstance. Put that in column one.
Right.
Lots of people have been jackasses. At no time does that mean the next logical thing, the next reasonable thing, is to have your helmet swung at him. That's why I'm fine. Mason Rudolph should be punishing this thing, too. He's an idiot. He's a buffoon. I'm also punishing Pouncey. The most severe punishment should be, again, the guy that swung the helmet at somebody.
A NFL helmet, I saw this on Twitter today from one of the Steelers writers for The Athletic, weighs 6 pounds. The standard red brick that is used to build a house weighs 5 pounds. Think about that. A guy swung a brick at someone's head, essentially, yesterday. Heavier item, actually. Two things. One, is Mason Rudolph a victim in all of this? At the very end, maybe, but not up until then. Again, though, you brought a gun to a knife fight. I guess I should come up with a better phrase, but you shot at someone when you were slapping each other. That's all that matters to me. Like, if somebody slaps you in the face and then you run over them with your car, I get more upset that you ran over someone than that, like, you didn't slap back, I guess, is my point. I'll also say this. Call me crazy. I am not willing to just assume that Mason Rudolph said something terribly and racially insensitive.
Wouldn't that have come out? I mean, the head coach of the Browns might have let people know, hey, he said something he shouldn't have said. We're treating this differently? Wouldn't
Possibly.
That have come out?
But I'm honestly, now we're just supposed to assume that someone might have said something horrific? That's what we're doing now? Someone does something that they should have never done in a million years, and I'm supposed to assume that somebody said a terrible word to a guy racially? Why would I assume that? Am I supposed to assume today that Monte Nicholson did more than we know that he did with what happened with a young girl who's dead being dropped off at a hospital? Or do we not act that way? You want me to assume because Myles Garrett lost his cool and hit Mason Rudolph in the head with a helmet that Mason Rudolph, I'm assuming, said something terrible? I'm supposed to assume that? No, I'm not doing that. Sorry. I'm not doing that. Now, if I find out that he did say something terrible, I will react accordingly. It'll change how I feel about this substantially. Won't change, by the way, that Myles Garrett in a million years as an adult shouldn't have hit Mason Rudolph in the head with a helmet. It'll at least justify his anger in some way. But if you're asking me, because someone lost their cool and did something stupid, then I'm supposed to now just assume until we find out more information that he did that, I think that's irresponsible. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 is how you can get a hold of us on Grant and Danny. So I'm suspending him for the rest of the year. Does he play week one next year for you?
Yes.
He does?
Yes.
He probably would for me. I'm considering, though, like 10 games, I think.
If that comes down, I wouldn't flip out.
Maybe even 8. And the reason why, honestly, is the Browns probably aren't making the playoffs anyway. They're sub 500, and he just kind of starts vacation early. Whereas the beginning of a new season, I want I don't want this to be forgotten start of next year. I want people to still remember that he did this, and I want the message to be sent that perhaps he's not able to be on the field in week one. And they're going, why isn't Myles Garrett playing? Oh, yeah,
oh,
because
that's right.
He swung that brick at the head of Mason Rudolph, essentially. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. There's a few other things we got to get to, including, you know, people comparing Myles Garrett swinging a helmet on the football field at Mason Rudolph to like someone doing this in the street and saying he should be charged.
No.
Which is ridiculous.
Hard no to me.
Just preposterous. So we'll do that and we'll get to your calls next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game and every bet for real sports fans. How should the NFL punish Myles Garrett? What would be too little? What would be too much? What do you think is just right? He did something last night we've never seen before. Myles Garrett met with reporters after the game. By the way, were you surprised? He spoke at his locker.
Good for him. And I mean that. Good for him. He stood up and faced questions. I thought that was commendable.
So I don't mean that. I don't think he had a choice but to face questions. I don't know what else he would have done. I guess I'll give him credit for doing it because maybe he could have left the locker room early.
How many teams would say he's not available?
I don't think any. I mean, legally, you're not allowed to. No, you would. You have to speak after games by way of the CBA. So you have to make players available. If not, they get fined. Maybe they could have skirted the system. I was 100% sure he was going to speak. What I'm saying, though, is I thought they would have put him at the podium for more of a controlled situation. I think it's worse when you do it at your locker because people can just go over and shout things from all angles and it's very awkward. Whereas at the podium, at least it's a microphone and someone's in control and they could say, you know, hey, we're done here, what have you. I was just surprised it happened at his locker. I don't know about you. I thought that would be like right after Baker Mayfield, you bring him up and it's more of a kind of canned, here's my statement, 5 questions and get him out of there rather than like a free-for-all around his locker where it's hard for a PR guy to control that.
Yeah, I think the whole I give credit for all of that, for just sort of saying, yeah, however it comes, I'll deal with it. I don't give him credit for the actions, though. So that's nice after the fact that you realize this was wrong, and you know, good on you for responding in that way. Good for Freddie Kitchens, I think, but man, is this ugly.
Yeah, I'll applaud that he answered as many questions as he did. Again, I think he had to answer questions. I don't know that he had a choice, but I think the way he handled it was pretty good. Here he was post-game.
It's been called embarrassing by your coach, and I think – player. I mean, do you think that's a fair description of?
Absolutely. You know, that is embarrassing. You know, what I did was foolish, and I shouldn't allow myself to slip like that. That's out of character. But situation like that, where you know it's an emotional game, like Larry said, and allow myself to fall into those emotions. You know, with that last play and what happened.
That's Myles Garrett post game. So one last thing to hit on, just all the little items I jotted down I figured we'd want to give takes on, and then we'll get to the calls. There's several of them, 800-636-1067. This idea that people are calling for assault charges on Myles Garrett. And by people, some are fans, a lot are media people. I've even seen some players say that. I always hate that. You know, I just think that sports and what happens within these games, these violent games, it's not the same as real life. People are going, if he hit someone with a helmet outside on the street, he'd get arrested. He'd probably get arrested if he just ran by a dude and hit him in the back, speared him, and tackled him, too. It's what he gets paid to do every single play.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get that. I don't like it. I know some people's retort is that there have been a couple times in hockey over the years where people have had charges brought against them. Todd Bertuzzi's sucker punch of Steve Moore from behind, you may remember, in a pretty legendary moment where he got suspended 20 games and ended up getting charged. He had 80 hours of community service. There was another incident we talked about earlier with Marty McSorley slashing Donald Brashear in the head with his stick. He got charged as well, found guilty of assault with a weapon, sentenced to 18 months probation. So it's happened. I wish those times, those guys, there was no precedent for that. I think I would never have an assault charge for something that happens during the 60 minutes of a football game.
Now, you start to, for me, the only gray area is, say, malice at the Palace, where guys go into the crowd.
I'm talking about on the field.
But
yeah.
That's my point. I'm with you 100%.
If there's like a fight afterwards, like LeGarrette Blount style with that idiot.
At Boise State.
But yeah, who was the idiot I don't remember what the guy was saying, but like they got into it and he dropped him with a punch, like at the coin toss or after the game,
yeah,
whatever that was.
Post-game handshake when the guy's in his face.
Maybe that's a fight. That's not the game. But yeah. During the game, on the field, come on.
That's kind of where I am. You've got to do something. This obviously is exceptional, and it should be treated within the confines of the game. So the game has its own regulatory body in terms of the league, and they'll handle this accordingly. I don't need police involved. I don't need arrests made. I don't need charges brought. That's just not where I am. Now, if this did happen on the street, yes, then it's public, and they're the regulators of that. So give me the justice system involved there. I have no interest in police cuffing and stuffing Myles Garrett this morning at the Cleveland facility.
All right, we got time for calls now, so let's get to them. 800-636-1067. Hey, Chase, how are you?
Hey, guys. I think you're doing a great job, as usual, on covering pretty much every aspect of this overall conversation. Yeah, my pleasure, always. Quick couple points that I don't think we've talked about, in the sense that there was two guys from the Steelers that went out from head-to-head contact. One of the safety from the Browns definitely could have pulled up, in my eyes anyway.
Demarius Randall. Yeah, he ended up with that contact. It was Deontay Johnson, I believe. And he was bleeding from the ear when he came off the field with a concussion. And yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster earlier in the game, probably a less dirty hit. But he left the game helmet-to-helmet contact with a concussion as well.
Yeah, so I think when we look in the grand scheme of things at the context, yes, Myles Garrett swung a helmet. But here you got, you know, the safety using himself as a projectile, you know, and that's why we try to, you know, rid that out of the game, right? So to me, I think they got to go big picture, suspend Garrett, Mason, freaking, you know, the safety, possibly the Pouncey brother, you know.
So you're suspending everybody. Well, how many games for Garrett?
Well, I mean, I'm giving Garrett 8 games for sure. I'm with you, Grant. I think he's got to set precedent and go into next season.
Thanks for the call, buddy. So he's going rest of this season to next year, and maybe that's the big question. Perhaps there are some people out there that don't think he'll get the remainder of the season or don't think he should, and we want to hear from you as well. But is there a way that this goes past? Everyone's just saying suspend him the rest of the year. Might they say it's 8 games, it's 10 games, and if that carries in the next season.
To make sure playoffs are accounted for, too, in case they get there.
Exactly. Yeah. So be it. 800-636-1067. Your calls on Grant and Danny on what Myles Garrett did last night on The Fan.
Marquise, was there something that sparked it, you think? I mean,
no, I just said it was out the blue.
Marquise, should Garrett be done for the year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. We'll see how serious the NFL is about their players.
Do you expect anything to happen to you?
I mean, at this point, who cares? My man got hit in the head with a helmet. I mean, I'll set whatever penalty it is.
Can you remember being that angry on a football field?
Nah, I blacked out. I don't even remember it, really.
Marquise Pouncey after last night. I think he'll get suspended a game, maybe two. I think two would be excessive. But I think that his actions, while still deplorable, much more understandable than Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Even if I can understand
that,
I'm still suspending him.
I've seen 800 players do that in the past. Throw fists, kick at people on the ground. I've seen it happen 7 to 15 times an NFL season. I've never seen anyone do what Myles Garrett did, ever. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No. I was racking my brain trying to.
There was one video people were sending around this morning of like a Texans defensive lineman who ripped off, I think it was Incognito's helmet, and kind of like mushed him in the face with it or swung it across his jaw, it looked like, in the trenches years ago in a preseason game. Maybe that's the closest. But that level of kind of the big wind-up swing on the quarterback's head, ripped the guy's helmet off and used it as a weapon, never seen it. A couple quick questions, and then we'll just go hard on the phones. One person saying, you got to go 16 games a full season. You said you're okay with my idea of 8 to 10. What about 16? I feel like that's a lot.
I think that's too much. I don't have a good explanation as to why, honestly, but just the feeling I have. A lot of these, this is such a subjective thing. A lot of this is just sort of based on feel. I'm going to send a message without just completely derailing a guy's career. I'm going to say, this was really bad. Let's all acknowledge it was really bad, but this is not necessarily who Myles Garrett is. Right? If this is the second such thing, or if he had done something really dirty, again, I keep going back to Vontaze Burfict. If this was incident two in the you got to go see the principal again and get yourself suspended, I could see 16 games. This is, by all accounts, good dude, bad, super bad moment. You need to pay for that bad moment, but this is not the book of Myles Garrett. This is a chapter.
Sadly, I think this will be something that is synonymous with him for the rest of his career.
Unfortunately.
He's a Hall of Fame player. He is sensational. I mentioned earlier, he's one of my favorite players in the NFL that doesn't play for the Redskins.
He's great.
I love watching him. He'll never live this down, which stinks. But when you are a public figure and in front of millions of people, your worst moment happens, it's always brought up. Now, I won't be judging this guy off of this 10 years from now, but I think a lot of people will in today's culture. Go to Patrick in D.C. Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? A couple things. So I think that Mason Rudolph gets fined at the most. I also think Marquise Pouncey gets fined, possibly a game suspension. But I'm not going to compare Vontaze Burfict, what he's done, to what Myles Garrett did. But I think you got to suspend him for the rest of the season. I mean, Vontaze Burfict got suspended for the rest of the season 4 or 5 games ago for something not even as vicious as this. I think Freddie Kitchens has got to hold a players' meeting and say, look, my job is not looking great right now. You're not making me look great. Anybody that does this from now on, you're sitting. I don't care what we're looking for the playoffs. He's got to send a message to this whole team.
That's a good call on Kitchens, an angle we haven't covered. There's a lot of talk today that he doesn't have control of his team. He better get some control real quick. I liked what Baker Mayfield said postgame, if you could grab that too, Tom, because on the field on Fox, a little bit different than the locker room. But Baker Mayfield basically did whatever the opposite is of course, he wasn't going to condone Myles Garrett, but defending him. He didn't throw him under the bus. I don't think that's a thing. But what he said was, I thought, exactly what he should have. Here was Baker Mayfield post.
Myles can gain his respect back by handling like a man, how any of us in this organization would do it. You know, being apologetic, owning up to it, learning from it. This is a physical, violent game that if there's moments, if you don't keep your cool, bad things can happen. And he knows that. I said it on the field after. It's inexcusable. He knows that. There's no other way around it. He's going to own up to it. He's going to handle it. And this locker room is going to have to come together because this is going to be a soap opera on the outside, much like the media has portrayed us to be from the whole season.
That was Baker Mayfield post. Let's go to Scott in Winchester. Scott, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
I was just calling in to talk about how everybody's saying that this is the most deplorable thing that they've ever seen on the football field. And I was just wondering if we had all forgotten about a guy named Albert Haynesworth, who's a big 350-pound mountain of a man, stomping with his cleats into the head of Andre Girard with his helmet off, laying on the ground.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible, too. I don't want to be in that company, yeah. I guess is the point. I mean,
which one's worse to you?
Great question.
Point, it looked like on the call screener, was that Haynesworth, what he did was worse. I think this was worse than that.
Yeah, I could debate that. Honestly, the guy's defenseless. You're stomping on his face. That was pretty egregious and pretty terrible. But so is this one. I mean, I don't necessarily care which one's worse, honestly. I think they're both so terrible, both so outside the realm of the sport that we need to be talking serious suspensions for both.
I hate to sound like Mike Florio this morning, whose takes yesterday were burning me to the point where I needed some attention.
Some gloves.
Medically. However, if one of those two guys like was more at risk of serious injury, you know, the rest of their lives having an issue, or I think being hit in the top of the head with a helmet probably more damaging than getting raked across the head with a cleat. You know, even though that's pretty gross and awful. But like you said, what are we debating between?
Right.
Two of the worst moments that have happened. I don't know what the point of that debate is. It's a fair point. Josh in Alexandria, how are you?
Doing all right, guys. So you guys have been pretty spot on with most of your takes. But Danny, I kind of disagree with you saying Rudolph acted like a jackass. I mean, there's 8 seconds left in the game, and you have this chiseled behemoth of a man, wrapping and wrestling around Rudolph, like maybe, 6 seconds after the ball's released? Then he takes him down to the ground, and then he's driving on top of him. So I think anybody in that situation is going to feel some kind of way.
Agree with that.
Yeah, maybe I'd act like a jackass too. But one other thing I wanted to point out was when Rudolph gets hit and knocked from behind, he's scrambling to his feet as his linemen are rushing to take care of number 65. He actually takes a blow to the back of the head from a lineman's thigh pad.
We have
two blows to Rudolph's head, unprotected, and obviously he got knocked the hell out a few weeks ago.
So here's why I say that, and you're absolutely right. Listen,
I forgot about that concussion he got a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was gruesome.
Well, here's why I say that Rudolph acted like a jackass. Again, so far we haven't risen above the normal threshold for suspension. You could just be a jackass on the field. Lots of guys are jackasses. But Rudolph didn't like the hit, and everything you described, by the way, I think is very apt of what Garrett did to him. Ball's gone, he's still wrestling to the ground and stuff. Well, Rudolph is grabbing Garrett's helmet himself and shaking it, and he's very displeased with the hit. So far, we haven't risen to suspension. Maybe we're at fine level, but it's not that big a deal at this stage. So then when he starts escalating it, Garrett takes it to another level because he is a behemoth and he's stronger than Mason Rudolph happens to be. No disrespect there. Helmet gets ripped off. He then goes after Miles Garrett more than, again, keeping sort of the dander kind of rising up here. And then, of course, Garrett takes it way over the top, went the nuclear option. Not saying that Mason Rudolph, by being a jackass, deserved any of that. But I do say, hey, that was kind of routine jackassery. You didn't like the hit. You could have just gone about your business. But he did more.
Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch will be joining us early next hour to talk about Monte Nicholson, who's in some trouble potentially, certainly in the news for the wrong reasons, if nothing else. We'll ask him exactly what's going on with the Redskins' safety, and we'll have him explain that developing story to you. Also, Darius Geis returns on the field for the Skins on Sunday. What are our expectations? When will he become the RB1 over Peterson? And the big story of the day we're working on is Miles Garrett. How many games will he be suspended? You're listening to The Fan. Hey, guys. Grant Paulson for my friends at Quip. The Quip electric toothbrush is the best. And Quip's telling you that if you have good habits, you're going to be good to go with your teeth for a long, long time. They make it so easy to have those good habits. Brushing for 2 minutes, twice a day, flossing regularly. No matter what brand you use, Quip makes it so simple. They're going to give you the electric toothbrush, the refillable floss, anti-cavity paste, electric brush with the sensitive sonic vibrations and a built-in timer every 30 seconds going to guide you with pulses for an even clean. Floss dispenser comes with pre-marked strings so you get just enough. Plus, they deliver fresh brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months. Free shipping. Can't beat it. Your routine's going to be perfect. Join 3 million healthy mouths at GetQuip.com today. $25 is all it costs. You got to go to GetQuip.com/2019 right now. You'll get your first refill for free. That's GetQuip.com/2019. GetQuip.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.